Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
This is All of It on WNYC. I'm Allison Stewart. Thank you for spending part of your day with me. Many artists want to be challenged by their work and explore new territory, but Esperanza Spalding seems to have a particular knack for breaking new ground. The singer and bassist, who's been called the 21st century jazz genius, finished her undergrad degree at Berkeley in only 3 years, and then went on to teach at the school at 20. She was the youngest faculty member ever. Since then, she's also been a professor in the music department at Harvard. And oh yeah, she's continued to make her own music. In her career, she's released a series of genre-bending albums. She's back with a reissue of her 2018 album, 12 Little Spells. Each track on the album was inspired by a different body part. For the reissue, though, she's added 4 previously unreleased songs. Here's a clip of one of them, Lest We Forget, Blood.
Blood is ignited engine here at the core of all creation with your key to a mystery spark. Bursting just beneath the surface.
Esperanza, welcome to All of It.
Thank you for having me.
I'm so happy to see you. It's when you came in, I was given a CD and a booklet. And we were both talking about how great it is to feel.
It's so good.
To feel the pamphlet and the read the liner notes and the beautiful photography.
It's part of it.
It really is. Tell me about all the different folks you worked with on this.
Ooh. Well, first of all, I feel like I should clarify that it's not exactly a reissue.
How would you call it? What would you call it?
I don't know what I would call it.
An extension?
Maybe an extension, because I feel like the nomenclature of releasing music is about like when people can start buying it. Mm-hmm. And when I first released it, I just released the spells everywhere just to be engaged with, you know?
Just one at a time,
one song
right?
a day on the streaming platform and with the video spells and... You know, I don't think the label considers that a release. I mean, I consider it release because you're releasing it.
Mm-hmm,
it's
right.
leaving your hands. But, you know, in the relationship of like, this costs money to make. If you enjoy it, you know, buy it. Now we're starting that relationship. Now we're starting that relationship between the listener or the receiver and me. So I would consider this like in the business model or in like an album out. This is the release.
Interesting. Okay, so when you first release, you first put them out into the world, we'll say, one at a time for people to receive and engage with, and now they've all been sort of pulled together and presented officially.
Well, they're for sale now.
They're for sale now.
And that's part of the challenge, I think, for all people who work in any mode of like healing arts, particularly when you're, you know, absorbing so much for free. You know, life is free. You came here for free. And most of the experiences that foster creation, foster imagination, creativity, you don't pay to have those experiences. It's life. It's having emotions. It's having thoughts. It's reading books. It's conversations. It's challenges in the subway. It's challenges in your life. And to me, sometimes I feel a little friction between the idea of like asking somebody to pay for the benefit of what I receive for free, even in like explicit paradigms of healing, like Reiki or UHP or massage therapy, whatever. It feels like, but this isn't a commodity.
But I'm going to get on the other side of that and say, I'm happy to provide you funds to continue being creative.
Awesome. I like that.
How about that?
I like that. What is a struggle for me is the idea that, you know, cost would be prohibitive from anybody receiving some medicine or some beauty that was valuable to them that had come through my life or through another healer's life by way of these channels that are not commodified, you know? So that was part of the motive, I guess I'm saying all this to say, that was part of the motive of wanting to just release them. Because I felt like they were so special and magical. And, you know, I did invest money, but the main thing that was invested in me was all this energy and generosity and grace from other people and from these incredible lineages of the music I love and the healing arts, a few healing arts. So it felt like they had to start free because it came in free. Then it's a matter of like, well, it also did cost like concrete money to manufacture this. So at some point, it's like, so for those of you who this meant something to, will you now get something tactile, you know, because this is commodified. Printing things cost money. Doing this, you know, and then you will get like a tangible object that like represents gratitude, basically. So a word that captures all that is what we're in now for the album.
My guest is Esperanza Spalding. We're talking about 12 Little Spells. So you wrote this, and correct me if I'm wrong, on a writing retreat in Italy?
I got a writing residency at Civitella Ranieri, which is in the Umbertide region of Italy, at this medieval castle. And I was there with an incredible family, community of writers and visual artists, filmmakers, composers. And the quarters that I had was a converted pigsty with a grand piano in it. And I would sit there every day.
Just, wait, did they tell you when you first went in?
Yeah. I was a little hesitant to stay in the castle because it had a lot of things happen in that castle. And the concept of monarchies, it's not appealing to me. Like, that doesn't inspire me. Mm-hmm. The idea of being where, some medieval kings and queens and noble people were rolling around, you know, absorbing the hard labor of other people. Anyways, so I stayed in the pigsty, the converted pigsty, and would do a lot of Reiki and a lot of just sitting outside and contemplating, a lot of reading, a lot of studying, and wrote these spells there in this very quiet, still environment. And I hope that even though they're pretty busy and there's dense arrangements, I hope that there's that through line of a stillness. I hope they activate a sort of stillness when you're within them. That's when I wrote them. Well, one of them I wrote the year before, but all the rest were at the castle.
Do you like the quiet?
The quiet in here?
Just in general. You said you described it as being very quiet.
Yes, I do like the quiet. I do like the quiet. I like to see what the residue. Well, this is a great quote from Einstein of creativity is the residue of boredom. And I really like what that implies. And I feel that too. I feel like when I don't have my phone, or if I leave it, or if I don't have service and I'm just sitting there, thoughts or associations kind of burble up that haven't had space to process. So I really love silence. I need sort of an active silence because I do have such a overactive mind. But I think that's the great gift that music can offer us, you know. It's you are receptive when you're listening to it, but it's also engaging all these faculties in your brain, particularly when there are lyrics. And it can kind of generate an active stillness, you know, an active quiet, I hope.
You've mentioned Reiki twice so far. So explain to our listeners what it is and how it was a source of inspiration for this collection of spells, songs.
I don't know if anybody can explain yet, empirically what Reiki is. Maybe the same way that 500 years ago we couldn't explain empirically what was happening when you heard sound. You know, we didn't know about the little hammer at the end of your cochlea.
Right.
We didn't know. So it was experiential. Hearing music was experiential. Hearing was experiential. And you might hear some sound and music by a practitioner of music that would totally move you and feel transcendent, and you would feel like you were connecting with the heavens, you know. Or you might hear something that was like, okay, that was some sound sensation, but I'm not really, you know, nothing to call home about. And I think Reiki is very similar. It's definitely something happening.
Well, it's a healing practice.
It is
right?
A healing practice. It is, okay, so we can say that it is a healing practice. I think most practitioners would agree it's a capacity that's innate in all people. Unlike quote unquote hearing, at least through the faculties that we're used to thinking of hearing, most practitioners would agree that everybody has this capacity in them. And a Reiki practitioner, maybe like a musician, is someone who knows how to generate a harmonious sound that your hearing faculty can process. So, and I'm sort of skirting around it because it is so experiential. Mm-hmm. It isn't any more helpful for me to describe what it is as an experience than it is to describe what hearing sound is. You hear it and it moves you, or you don't. You know, and that's how I experience Reiki. And the nomenclature around it to describe what it is, I just see as nomenclature. It's to describe something that we don't have the means yet to measure, like at comprehensively at the anatomical level, like, oh, okay, you know, this
X, Y, or Z happens
exactly
to this part of the anatomy.
Consistently and through this, exactly. Mm-hmm. But I will say, when it's happening to you by a great practitioner, it's undeniable. And when it's happening to you from an okay practitioner, it's like hearing some okay music. You know, you're like, all right, there's some things, I'm from some heat, like, but, you know, nothing to call home about. And for me personally, it's been a very, it's been a very inspiring process. And I perceive a lot of the terminology around it and descriptions of what it is feels metaphorical to what I want to do in music, you know. And like anything, it's a practice. I'm very new to it. I've only been doing it for a little over a year, but I practice it avidly and I study the history of it. You know, it the iteration that we know of now called Reiki of what this exchange. It's like if we forgot how to do music, and then, you know, 500 years from now, somebody's like, wait a minute, you can strike things in rhythm and like dance to that. I'm gonna call it Carnauf, you know, and then we're like, what is Carnauf? You know, because we forgot what it was. And so when we speak of Reiki, we're talking about that point in the historical timeline that's much longer than the history of Reiki, when Dr. Mukai Usui came upon this sort of lost art form and started to refine it and articulate it and turn it into a practice that could be taught. And it's something that you learn, excuse me for bumping the mic, something you learn in person. You know, you can't read about it and then call yourself a practitioner. You learn from somebody who has been taught by somebody, and it all ideally connects back to Dr. Mukai Usui.
I'm smiling because I just realized you're wearing a shirt that says Life Force.
Yes.
As we're talking about all these energy.
And the funny thing is, this was just like a hit me in the middle of the night idea before I knew that this term was associated with Reiki.
Oh, funny.
So I started doing this in January of last year. My Life Force, for those of you who can't see me, it's a uniform. It sort of looks like a space suit or like a mechanic suit. I like that combo. That says Life Force on my chest, and then the backs all say different things. Then I'm going into the Reiki training, and my teacher, Lizzie McCollum, says, you know, basically what we're talking about is like dealing with the universal life force energy. And usually I roll my eyes when I hear stuff like that because I'm from Oregon. I'm just a little burned out on kind of like, I mean, it is a new age, and I respect that, but some of the nomenclature just is kind of, I hear it a lot in a lot.
It's like the wallpaper in Oregon.
Thank you.
Cultural wallpaper.
That's the perfect allegory. Exactly. But because I had just made these sushis at Life Force, I sat up. I said, uh-oh, okay. I'm plugged into something. Let's see what it's about, you know. Yeah.
My guest is Esperanza Spalding. We're talking about 12 Little Spells, which is her current release. So was it always the idea, you put the 12 out, did you always have the other four and knew they were? No, okay.
I dance in the dance of instructions that come from my heart and my gut to make things without thinking about how they're going to be economically viable. And, you know, feeling beholden to a really wonderful group of people who work at my label who need my projects to generate money so that they can continue to give me advances that you know, enable me to record these things and like pay the people that I work with good wages and et cetera. So wage isn't the right word, but good fees. Mm-hmm. They are so gracious. And I came with them this project, 12 Little Spells. I want to release it this way. I want to do this, do that. And they're like, okay, but like, how are we gonna, yeah, okay, cool, okay. They're like, yes, let's do that. And then somewhere sort of in the middle of the process, they were like, look, if we're not going to release the physical copy till later, we need to have another reason to talk about it. Like, we need to add some value to the physical thing because everybody just got the 12 for free. So, like, why are they going to buy it? My thinking is, like, because people care about supporting the arts, which in this country isn't always true. So they were like, can you make more spells? And I'm over here like, no, because it's 12 little spells. It's not more than 12 little spells. But then I realized that there were some body parts that had been overlooked. I mean, many of them are overlooked. Mm-hmm. But I was talking with the musicians, and they were like, well, what about the hair? I was like, oh, damn. Yeah, we forgot the hair. How can we forget the hair?
Yeah, black lady. How'd you forget your hair?
I know, right? I'm like, that's the thing I think about so often. And it's like, what about the joint? And then, so then I realized, well, actually, I'm feeling some vibes around these other body parts. And they emerged. That's my point. Like, it was a nice... that's why I love that dance, because if I had stuck with just what I wanted, we wouldn't have these beautiful four spells, and neither was it just an arbitrary thing to add value to the project. And I'm excited to explore that space more, because up to now I've been very stern, I guess, and like, no, this is what it is, and that's the end. Like, y'all not gonna tell me what to do. Good night. Like, either you want to mess with my stuff or you don't. The end. And maybe that's maturing, I hope. Maybe it's a little bit more mature now to be like, all right, I understand that you running a, you're not like me. Like, I'm out here like, I'm cool if I sleep on my mother's couch. I just want to make the thing, you know. But that's not fair to put that on other people who have different bottom lines and kids and stuff. So learning that dance of how to make the things that I just have to make, because otherwise I don't feel like I'm doing anything meaningful. And then how can they generate capital?
You have an event coming up. Ooh. This Friday.
That's true, I forgot.
At the Strand.
Yes.
With a very cool person.
She's so cool.
And Devere Smith.
Yeah.
You guys are going to be doing a Q&A?
I think we're going to... Yeah, it's going to be a Q&A. I'm going to ask her Q's and give her A's, and she's going to ask me Q's and give me A's. And I think, she's one of the first people that I actually spoke with about this project. And I was in the middle of reading Alejandro Jodorowsky's Psychomagic, and sort of talking to her about all the various things that I was curious, and then she was the first person who sort of like reflected back to me in a distilled way what it sounded like I was really trying to do. And I really appreciated that. Like, just somebody who's as busy as her and as expansive, you know, as mm-hmm. she is, like making space to really listen and be like a sounding board and help you kind of sort through the nebula of what you imagine. And now we get to have this sit down talk and hopefully like distill some of that even more, you know.
That'll be Friday night at the Strand.
Yes.
At 7:30 p.m.
Thanks for shouting it out.
Esperanza Spalding, the name of it is 12 Little Spells. Yeah. With a couple of little extra pieces of magic.
Yeah.
I think we'll go out on one.
Okay.
This is How To
Okay.
Hair.
Hello.
Esperanza, thanks for coming by.
Nice to speak with you.
This is All of It on WNYC.
Ignore the mumbling audience, situating late to their seat, or standing room only stance. In this stately hall built for silence, bald bulbs blurrily focus on our loudness, writhing.